welcome back, my fine metal compatriots out there in the podcast world. We have an apology to make. We have not been in your ears in quite some time. I think it's almost been 2 months.
Ugh.
Life got in the way. New jobs, moving, girlfriends, apocalyptic war, our president bringing us to the brink of absolute insanity. But we are back today with a good old boys are back in town episode where myself and my lovely co-host as ever, Claytonius.
Boys are back in town.
And we are back in town and we are going to cover news for you today. Well, this is just an intimate podcast. This is just you guys and us, you know? There's no interview this week. We just want to say, hey, how are you guys? We're doing good. How are you? How are you, Clayton?
I'm all right.
Fantastic.
Know? I'm not bad.
Not bad. We're literally coming to you from a vault. We are recording this episode in a vault. I can't explain to you why we're in a vault, but we're in a vault.
It might explain the intimacy thing.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
The door may have locked. We don't know. It's a Schrodinger situation. It may or may not be locked until we check it. So
could be in here all weekend, perhaps. Not sure.
Our only means of communication is podcasting to the world outside.
Yeah. I'm pretty cozy though. You know,
yeah, it's cozy. It's nice.
We've got the drinks. We got the snacks. Ooh. I think we're okay for 2 days.
We're drinking some Macallan 12 year. We're feeling good. Feeling fancy. So there's been a lot that has been going on in the metal world in the last 2 months, obviously, that we have failed to cover. We're not going to go through the annals of history, through the archival ancient history that is the last 2 months in social media and internet age terms. 2 months is ancient history. Yeah. We're going to cover what's happening now. We're going to fill you guys in, give you your metal dose. I'm sure you guys looked elsewhere. You guys are pretty savvy fans out there. You know where to find your metal podcasts. We're sure we're not your only ones, right?
Right.
Right. So let's dive in, guys. Let's talk about what is happening in the world of metal right now. A lot of really cool stuff. First and foremost, you know, I want to talk about this amazing new Behemoth song that just came out yesterday.
Mm.
Pretty cool little campaign they did requiring us to say an actual prayer into our browsers.
Huh.
It was, you had to go to their website. They recommended Google Chrome. Set it in there. Again, I don't know if whatever it required us to say actually mattered, but said it, heard a little tease of music, and today, or yesterday rather, we got a new single off the new record entitled I Loved You at Your Darkest. The song is cringely called God Equals Dog, which is, I mean, you got to think it's just a difference of translation or something that's like, it sounds really cool when you're in Poland and you're talking about it, but not so much here.
The album title sounds pretty familiar too.
It does. It does. It all you 2004
Son, I Love You at Your Darkest.
Exactly. I mean, Nurgle loves his blasphemy and naming your album after a so-called quote of Jesus is, you know, okay, cool. I'm one to talk. I have multiple Behemoth tattoos, but. But what did you think of the track overall?
I thought, well, it was interesting because when I first listened to it, it didn't sound like normal Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
It had kind of like the feel of what is this as other
me
band?
And that man.
Yeah, it was kind of like that kind of a feel to it, so I was expecting maybe singing or something. But then it just got into the Behemoth, which was cool.
Definitely. Yeah. I we were talking about when we were listening to it that it feels like a proper evolution. It feels like they're going more in the direction that they kind of introduced in the Satanist.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Satanist was their Black album. You know, it was very digestible. It was very rock and roll influence, but it still had its like cred to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite record of all time. I'll be honest. I'll be transparent here. But I think that the new elements of rock and roll, I was really worried that they'd go too far on this new material. And obviously, we've only heard the one single. But it was kind of a sigh of relief. I was like, whew, okay. Okay, good. Like, it's not going to be some fucking jangly, like, banjo playing and yelling hey or some crap. Like I don't know,
some Mumford and Son,
because that's music now.
If this was their, if the Satanist was their Black album, hopefully this isn't their Satanger.
exactly. Oh man, and we gotta address before going forward, it is a little old news, but we do have to address the whole Tim Lambesis as LA Dying return.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuck and futz in my opinion. I'll let you take lead on that. What's your opinion on the whole thing?
Doesn't have the moobs anymore, so I'm a little disappointed.
Boob anticipation was
high.
Yeah,
that was a thing. He grew man boobs for a hot minute in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so weird because that the guitar player, I can't remember what his name is, the like one of the main guitar dudes.
I think it was Nick. He's a Pacific Islander guy, right?
Yeah. In like 2014, he was saying how disappointed he was. He's like, I'm, you know, there's no going back from this. Just going to move forward without him for now. You know, basically in so many words, he said that. But now they're all just like back at it. And I guess they hashed it out.
Yeah.
I mean, they. It seems like they felt really bad for him. Like they were kind of looking to see if he, if what he was telling them, which is basically, I want to try this again. They were trying to see if he had some disingenuous sort of vibes coming out.
He was bullshitting them. Yeah.
And basically, they just felt like he was just a sad kind of, he messed up real bad, and it's been like 2012 since the last 13,
I think.
It's been quite a few years since the last album, so he's had a lot of time to, I guess, pay for what he did. Although it's still unforgivable, and they all know that. And yeah, they just hashed that out, and
it seems like
it's still weird to me, though. Yeah, honestly, even after that,
it is weird. I think they're banking on the fact that the more we're exposed to it, the less weird it will be. You know, like the more you're exposed to something, the more norm it becomes, especially in this day and age. I agree with what you're saying there. And I think those guys know him really, really well, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think they can kind of see through bullshit and be like, okay, this guy was just a very fucked up, sad guy for a long time.
Yeah.
And he did something wrong.
Yeah.
For anyone out there living under a rock, Tim Lambesis attempted to hire a hitman to kill his estranged wife in 2013.
For $1,000.
For 1,000 1,000 big ones, which should have been a fucking red flag, bro. Yeah. Anyway, he served half of his sentence. No public comment has been reached from the estranged wife, Megan Lambesis. She hasn't said anything.
Ugh.
So it's still, who knows? One school of thought I've heard is that, he needs to work because it's the state of California and she gets half of his wages. So he needs to work and that's his job.
Mm.
But I mean, anyway, I thought it was so interesting that like the kind of dichotomy, that's not the right word, the hypocrisy of metal fans in general being like, you see a guy, I think we talked about this. You see a guy wearing a Burzum shirt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like, the guy literally killed people and was literally convicted and spent 21 years in a prison because he killed people for being different, for being gay, for, you know, he's an outspoken white supremacist nationalist.
Yeah.
And people wear Burzum shirts all the time and no one bats a fucking eye, but a guy who's roided out of his brain and in a really shitty mental health place who has completely renounced and apologized everything for something that was a really stupid mistake one time. And everyone's just like, nope, no more Azalea dying. But Varg Verkenes from Burzum still writes a fucking blog about how colored people are evil. Mm. Like, and people are like, yeah, well, you know, Burzum's pretty cool. I mean, their second wave black metal's cool, right?
Ugh.
Dude, what?
I hope that doesn't mean we're just surrounded by more of those people than better people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ugh.
But, I mean, they did announce their first European tour. They did announce an American tour. No support acts were announced. No TBA was on the posters either.
Oh.
So are they just rolling solo and getting locals to open the shows? They're noticeably smaller venues too. They're like 400, 500 cap venues.
There. Gotta get back on the horse.
Yeah. Dude, back when they were at their heyday, they were selling out Ace of Spades and Sac. Yeah. They were selling out 1,000 to 2,000 cap
the bigger
theaters.
Clubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were doing pretty good. I mean, I think they were like headlining some festivals too, or co-headlining at least.
They're doing big numbers back then, man. But we'll see what happens. I'm still on the fence personally if I want to attend.
As am I.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fucked up.
It is.
I can't say I'm going to. I really don't think I'm going to, just because, I mean, A, there's a lot of really good shows coming up. But no.
Yeah. I also wondering, like, if they're going to Europe, if you have like a felony or something, how do you get past that? Like,
well, they're not going into the UK, and that is, they don't allow American felons into the UK. I think the EU is a little more lenient. I could be wrong. Don't quote me out there, internet land. But okay. I mean, it's got to be, right? I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have their ducks in a row before they announce this tour.
Yeah. They're like, he tried to kill his wife, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, we already booked these dates, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
You're so pulling the wool over our eyes. We do not. Bad. Next time we get you. Okay. Very good. It's my offensive European accent.
It's very offensive.
There's some other cool news. We're just going to go down the line like we like to do here. Zayo is planning two new releases for this year. Zayo is still really active for a band that doesn't really tour. They're kind of a new precedent in metal. You know, they're still putting out material. They're doing the week-long runs, weekend runs, doing festivals. And I mean, that's the dream, man. Like I'm sure they all have families. I'm sure they all have real jobs and they're still able to output really strong content, play shows. Best of both worlds. Have you listened to the last few Zayo releases?
Nope.
Were you ever a Zayo fan? No,
I've never got really big into Zayo, but they're putting out two albums this year, or
two 7-inches. So I guess that's really like what, 4 songs total, maybe.
Yeah, okay, it's like an EP.
Yeah, still kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I think it's just an interesting dynamic. It's just an interesting thing, kind of a blueprint for bands to see that maybe, I mean, only the bands that are like legacy status, like your Zayos, your Bury Your Deads, or I mean, a lot of bands in those early 2000s, they've all got real jobs and they have moved on. But I don't know, interesting to see. But it's still cool to see them doing that and not just totally breaking up and finding that little balance. If they ever play, I mean, it creates a demand too. If they ever play Portland, fuck, I'm gonna go.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like, will they ever play Portland again? I don't know. They might have grandkids.
It's true.
Who knows?
Good point.
But anyway, I digress. Other big tentpole news items that we need to discuss. Vinnie Paul did die. And he passed away in between the last podcast and now. Didn't get to touch on that or talk about that subject. I've been a huge Pantera fan for a long time. I never got to see him play live, but that one hit me hard. Obviously, hell yeah, not really my cup of tea. But shit, man, half of Pantera being dead is pretty rough.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
The scene was shook, I should say.
Shook. It was shooketh.
Shooketh.
I got to go to his strip club once on a tour. I told you about that. In Dallas, I think it was. Dallas or Houston, I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
Because Texas is a terrible fucking state. Yeah. But
can I quote you on that?
Yes, you can. But the strip club was great. That was fantastic. And usually a $20 cover with a bring your own beer law, which I guess is on the books in Texas. You can bring your own beer
to
strip clubs.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Sign me up. But if it's $20 cover, but if you're on an active tour, you flash your laminate to the bouncer, let you in for free.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That night, I think that was the pinnacle of the coolest I'll ever feel in my entire life.
Yeah.
It's not only so, we had played our set on the tour and we were out with Suicide Silence and they were telling me they were going to this strip club and they invited me to get on the bus and go with them. So I said, of course. The rest of the guys in Alter Beast didn't want to go for some reason. I think they had some friend to stay with. So I went with them. Showed up, Alex had his, or no, Mark has his vaporizer, his weed vaporizer in the back lounge of the bus. So, you know, hanging out with that was definitely intense. Got to Mars before I went into the club. A couple of the guys took out some ones, gave me some ones. They knew I was, you know, a broke opener. So they gave me some ones to have fun. It was nuts in there. Just shitty metal, just playing black lights. Had a few drinks. Again, the vaporizer had taken me to outer space. So I was just feeling crazy.
You didn't know what was going on, but you enjoyed it.
Exactly. And get this. So all throughout, I'm having a blast. Could this night get any better? Podcast listeners may know. I know Clayton knows my love of Batman. Yeah. But literally a guy in full movie quality Batman costume
what?
Shows up to the club. And I would think it was a dream. but I actually have a picture of it. And I woke up the next morning on the bus at the next venue.
What?
My set was in an hour. I slept all day.
I've never heard this story.
And so I woke up and I was like, oh, that was so amazing. That was so amazing. Wait, was Batman there? And I thought, no, that was a dream. That was definitely a dream. And I checked my phone and I go, oh, fuck, Batman really was there. I think I died and gone to heaven, man.
Was it Adam West Batman, Michael Keaton, or Christian Bale?
It was Arkham Asylum Batman. What? It was like, oh, my dude, God. I'll pull up the picture. I should post the picture on the Casting Metal Podcast Instagram. But yeah, that was like, that was one of the coolest nights of my entire life.
Oh, my God.
Could this get any better? Fucking Batman.
It did. It definitely did.
Yeah. Anyway, if you ever get a chance and you're in Texas, go to Vinnie Paul's strip club. Batman will show up. You'll have a blast. Moving on. Again, apologies if there are any weird cuts in this episode. We're having some issues with our recording equipment, but we're going to get that fixed before the next episode. We just want to knock this out, finish this for you guys. Say hello. The old Batcave is dusty, apparently. Batman's out at Vinnie Paul's strip club not fixing his audio gear for us.
What's going on?
Yeah, okay, moving on. Man, Daughters, they're expanding a fall North American tour. Daughters are back. Mainly just A markets. They're hitting weird like one-offs. Richmond, Baltimore, Philly, Brooklyn, L.A., San Francisco, Denver, and Chicago. Like two nights in most cities.
Okay. Are they just touring or is it an album or?
They recently debuted a new song titled Satan in the Wait, which you can check out here. But no new album planned, I don't imagine. That's very weird. Anyway, but speaking of new albums, Deaf Heaven's new album came out while we were away on our little sabbatical. What did you think of that content?
I don't think I've had enough time with it to really give a good... I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like they've taken like the best of what Deaf Heaven does and kind of put all that together.
Yeah. Into something. I feel like they're coming into their own. I mean, I like the black metal aspect, but it definitely was a really, it was pretty much Alcest worship, you know, like they definitely showed a lot of their influences on their sleeve. They still made awesome music. I still love Roads to Judah. I still love their first demo. Sunbather is one of my all-time favorite records for sure. No Shame. I don't give a shit. I know you elitists out there are going to hate me for it, but that record's great. Smoke a Joint. Think About Your Ex-Girlfriend. I don't know. Like, what do you want to do to that record? Like, oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, I like the new record a lot. I think it's an improvement from New Bermuda. I really did not like that record. Didn't do anything for me, which is interesting because it's a fine line. Like, it's not really that different, but I think they just had more of a confined message. They knew what they were trying to do. It felt like they were more focused on this. Do you agree?
Yeah, I guess I do agree, because I kind of same sentiments. I was really into Sunbather, and then that other one, it just let me down.
It's like, okay,
it was too
rigid. I felt like here's the nice part, here's the heavy part. Whereas this one with Ordinary Corrupt Human Love, it's the songs are like 11 fucking minutes long. You know, it's like it goes on a whole journey. You know, it's a derivative as hell journey. Like, you can know, like, all these chord progressions are like, they know exactly how they resolve their four part, you know, riff harmonies. Like, they'll go like on one part and it's like, it always does this one thing, introduces it. It kind of moves the shape. It goes to somewhere else. And then it usually resolves to like a minor and is kind of like, oh, now it's eerie sounding. And then they go, you know what I mean? They usually do that shit. You can deconstruct it to a T. It's pretty straightforward, but it's very interesting having like a black metal post-rock band.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they do well with those longer, like you said, you kind of go on a journey sort of songs.
Gives them space.
Yeah.
Definitely. Speaking of, there's no segue here. I don't know what I'm reaching for. Black Dahlia Murder announced another U.S. tour, and that's fucking sick. So there's your segue. Sorry, I'm out of prime. I'm rusty on the whole podcast game.
Segue.
Black Dahlia Murder, man. They're out there with everybody. Main support on the entire track is Pig Destroyer.
Yes.
So
okay.
Hell yeah. Chemist, Ghoul, fucking Ghost, not Ghost, but G-O-S-T, the Dark Wave Industrial Project. Havoc, Midnight, Skeletal Remains, and fucking Devourment is on some of the dates. So it's just a whole bunch of, like, you know, certain bands are on certain weeks and certain bands are on others. So
I don't think I've ever been to a show where there's like a keyboardy type band playing with metal bands.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm stoked for that one for
that,
sure.
That Ghost, whatever Ghost Ghost is, have you heard that new album?
I haven't heard the new one. I've heard a couple of his albums.
He put out one a couple months ago.
Okay.
But they're like, for being a synthy band, there's some pretty heavy ass riffs on there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yes. This okay. is cool. And he has like some like eerie, like horror movie or satanic-y sounding sound bites in between and stuff. It's
sick.
It's really cool.
Okay, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. And it's, I think it's in November that it's coming. They have dates here. Yeah. Oh no, it's end of November. So the 29th in Portland, Boston, over Ballroom. It's Pig Destroyer, Chemist, Ghost, and Skeletal Remains.
Ghost, damn. That sounds great.
Sick. I would like to see Havoc again. Havoc is really great live. If you're out there and you haven't seen Havoc, those guys tour like motherfuckers, and they're really sweet dudes. So check out Havoc if you haven't listened to them yet. Mm-hmm. Always a good time. Moving forward, news. It looks like Wolfhammer has fallen into the perpetual black metal void.
they've undone themselves.
I guess so. It's pretty awesome. They dropped off the Abigail Williams tour. They deleted their social media accounts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an odd way to break up.
That is.
Their singer, though, Adam, is also fronts. He plays in Skeleton Witch. He's the new singer of Skeleton Witch. That new record, by the way, we'll touch on that in a second, but that Devouring Radiant Light record is just,
so good.
It scratches a different itch. It's definitely,
for sure,
you know, not what I was expecting from a new Skeleton Witch record, but I think Skeleton Witch has done what they do enough. You know what I mean? Like, they have enough material in that they could, like, they could have done another Skeleton Witch record, but I'm glad they did something different.
Yeah.
And, I mean, October's coming up. I need something to listen to when I'm walking around in the fog, contemplating nihilism and doing all the epic shit that I pretend that I do.
Wearing jackets because it's winter.
wearing leather jackets because it's winter. Yeah.
But yeah, I hope Wolfhammer isn't actually broken up. I mean, I guess what else could that mean?
I mean, seriously, there's no...
Maybe a hacker got in and just coincidentally when they dropped off
I don't know. I mean, someone else. I mean, Wolf King took the spot on that Abigail Williams Ghost Bath tour. Wolf King is really, really good, like black and hardcore. They're represented by our friends at Pinup, friend of the podcast, Joel.
Joel
Haston works. Haston. Sorry, Joel. Fuck. I always can't remember how your last name is said. He is working with them pretty closely, and they're doing big things. Keep an eye out for Wolf King. Loyal to the Soil is the name of the record. Really blackened, hardcore, death metal aspects to it. Their singer's got a really great voice. Really, really pissed off stuff. But anyway, Wolfhammer, dropped off.
I guess if Wolf King wasn't able to play, they would have had Wolf Eyes. If Wolf Eyes couldn't play, they would have had Wolf Mother.
Got it. Okay, got it.
They were just lining up the...
Just they just scrolled through the Rolodex and they're like, who's next? All right, who's next?
They landed on those
Wolves ones. In the Throne Room were too much money, and they're already on that Behemoth tour. Mm-hmm. We'll touch on that in a second, because holy shit, that new Behemoth tour.
Oh.
I should have done some preparation because I'm a bad podcaster, but I have a couple contacts that are on that tour that I could have reached out to, but maybe I'll follow up on that, because I am curious.
Yeah.
Wolfhammer was getting some steam there for a minute, doing tours with Black Dahlia, with Fallujah, with I think they did a tour with Nocmistium back in the day. They did some good shit. But anyway, weird.
Solid stuff too. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
That's a bummer.
I'll follow up with some contacts I have to see if we can get an answer on that, get an official quote for the show. But let's talk about that Behemoth tour that's coming up, because good Lord.
Yeah.
Wolves in the Throne Room at the gates with their new album To Drink from the Night Itself. Wolves in the Throne Room with Thrice Woven that came out a few months ago. Mm-hmm. This new Behemoth record is going to be out. I mean, dude, that is, I bought tickets as fast as I possibly could. Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Oh yeah.
Looking forward to
that. Do you think it's sold out already?
I don't think so. Definitely give that a shot. The tickets weren't too expensive, so check that out.
Nice. I love that new Out the Gates record too. I've never really been super into them, mm-hmm. but I've like appreciated, you know, what they've done for metal in general. But that new one, I've just been spinning it quite a bit.
And yeah, it's fantastic. It's definitely At War with Reality was solid. It wasn't my favorite, to be honest. I liked it, but I wasn't crazy about it. It definitely kind of felt like them kind of pulling off the cobwebs, or, you know, shaking off the rust, so to speak. But this new one feels like they've kind of come into their own, for sure. I really like the production on it as well. The production is not gleaming, you know, bright, you know, yeah. fake bullshit. It sounds gritty and sounds kind of yeah. like dense, you know.
As it should be.
As it should be, yeah. Awesome metalcore legends coming back at the game. If you don't go to that tour, then fucking unsubscribe to my podcast out there in podcast land. Wolves in the Throne Room, At the Gates. It's oh God, it's such a perfect tour.
We'll have a booth at the show. We'll be set up.
Yeah, sure.
Get right on that.
Yeah, I'll make some calls. I make some calls. I mean, just show up. Monuments finally came out with a new single. They've been working hard on a new record. Meshuggah, did you see Meshuggah's apology for creating Djent?
No.
So they apologized for being the purveyors, the harbingers, as it were, of Djent music. They were like, we weren't trying to do that. I really like Monuments. I think there is some really good Djent music out there. I think like any kind of emerging subgenre, especially in metal, it explodes, it gets oversaturated, the cream of the crop rises and sticks around.
At least the Doom soundtrack for the new Doom game in 2016 came out as a cause of that. That, I mean, that's pretty heavy shit. I think he used like a 9-string guitar on there.
Something like that. Yeah, they had that was pretty sick. And what's his face? Not Nolly. Matt Halpern from Periphery played the drums on that. He helped program the drums. He was an integral part of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just pretty cool. We'll keep this pretty short, guys. Again, we just wanted to, say hello. We're still alive. We're still going to be doing this podcast. We still love metal and everything metal related. There's amazing tours coming up, which hopefully we'll have guests coming through. I did just move to a new place, and I'm going to have a spot literally reserved in my house for bands to stay now going forward. Any bands out there listening to this, please hit me up if you need a place to crash in Portland. I'm always happy to oblige. In lieu of a guest list spot or a two or three, but my place is your place. Please hit me up via social media. But anyway, yeah, so we're definitely going to hopefully get some more interviews in the next coming months throughout the fall touring season. A couple other releases that have come out. The new Surreption just came out. Clayton was saying he was jamming that. What's your impressions on that stuff?
Dig it. Really right. Like it. So like technical and fucking it hits groovy. All the right, checks all the boxes for that kind of like deathcore, like technical deathcore.
Yeah,
kind
dude.
Of thing.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, it's so groovy. It is so groovy.
I love those riffs that just stop and start on a dime. Like, I can't imagine doing that live though. Like,
dude.
Oh my god.
I don't know. In ears, like tempo maps. I saw Justin from the Kennedy Vale. Justin McKinney. Not the Kennedy Vale. God, what am I talking about? Justin McKinney from the Zenith Passage. Friend of the pod, he was filling in for them on Summer Slaughter. I don't know if you saw that. So our administration of our country, being the wise forebearers of all things diplomatic, restrict visas left and right for all kinds of reasons, even from the white people countries, apparently. Justin filled in. So they didn't have a guitar player, didn't have a bass player. Frederick, their singer, and Tony, their drummer, got in. But Mikhail, their guitar player, their mastermind, the guy who writes the majority of the material, I believe, he just couldn't get in, and he was working on visa stuff. I was talking to him on Facebook about it, and he was saying it was just complete bullshit going back and forth, wasted money, all this shit to try to expedite certain processes. And Justin could only get a certain amount of time for his out of office job, I think it was. He couldn't get enough time. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I believe that was what it was. And he couldn't, he could only do half the tour. So the idea was it would, they would give them a little buffer for Mikhail to get his visa to come over here and do it, but he never got it. So Reception just had to fucking fly back home to Sweden.
What?
Yeah, they're not on Summer Slaughter anymore. They just had to leave.
Ah.
So that's just such a bummer, and they're such a good band. And it, you're seeing more and more coverage in the metal media about how European bands just, they're saying it's not fucking worth it coming here.
Yeah.
With Asian markets opening up, with South American markets opening up, it's like, why make the headache to maybe, what's your profit margin here? You have to drive so fucking far,
yeah,
rent a bandwagon, get across 3,000 miles twice, you know? Like, it's what, a 10,000-mile trip to do an American tour? Like,
ugh,
why not fly in for just festival dates? You know, South Africa is opening up for bands now to come in. Obviously, yeah, the EU, obviously England, obviously northern and even eastern parts. Romania, Ukraine, Russia is even being more allowing for metal bands to come in.
And much closer.
And much closer, yeah. Australia, it's like, it's just shitty. It's that so sucks. Shitty.
Ugh.
Come on, Trump, make metal great again or something. Fucking idiot.
You won't make anything great.
No, good. Well, that's been pretty fun to follow, though. Yeah. We're going to wrap this up pretty soon. Not to end on a bad note, and we aren't going to end on a bad note because we have another segment for you guys. Apparently, Blood on the Dance Floor, big surprise, they're rapists, sexual predators. Seriously, fucking Google Blood on the Dance Floor and look at what these dipshits look like. The fact that these guys are accused of like fucking with underage girls is the least surprising thing I've heard all month.
I think it's just that one guy, the main singer dude.
I mean, probably, but
you got to think the other guys probably knew about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's some music video where he's having a girl go down on him, like behind a office desk or something. And I was reading like her confession. She had like, confession. Metal Sucks posted a bunch of different ones on there,
mm-hmm,
of girls who had weird sexual shit happen to them from that one guy. And I guess his big thing was like pushing girls' heads down on his cock,
oh,
to like force them to just get all of that. And it's just God, like 15, 17-year-old girls,
oh, man,
just like, dude, what the hell is wrong with you?
I feel like I need to take a shower now or something.
Yeah, I know.
God.
And I guess he just came off as like, at first, as like this super stand-up guy, and he like did nice things for them, you know, like helped them out in whatever way.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
of course.
And then it just, you know, he gets them in a room or in a car or whatever, and it just turns on a dime.
There's been a slew of that, man. Did you see the allegations of the frontman of Aiden? That band,
no.
Remember that Last Sunrise goth like screamo band Aiden back in the day when we were in
high
school?
I get them all mixed up with like your Motionless in White,
it's
and
all the
your
same shit,
whatever.
Yeah. but apparently he is like runs a fucking real, like a sex cult.
Oh God!
It has girls like tattoo and brand themselves with his
what?
Shit. Like that's this whole other thing, and a bunch of girls are coming out about it. So
yikes!
Nuts. Let's not end on that news note. I just want to talk about the new Anal Nathrak song and album that's coming out. What did you think of the new Anal Nathrak?
I liked the use of the machine gun as a, as
yeah,
an instrument.
Yeah. But it didn't like, same thing with the going back to the scratching and itch analogy. It really didn't scratch what I wanted from them. It's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I want to save judgment until the record comes out, but
it felt like they simplified their formula a little bit.
Definitely.
Or something. Like
definitely.
They were just, for a good while, they were just pushing how intense can we make these songs.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's pretty heavy, but it's just not in the same caliber as
it
what they
flows,
were doing.
It flows, it's slower, it has, yeah, the, I mean, all their songs have choruses, but it's definitely more like a, I don't know, man. Like, Anal Nathrak, when I discovered them, there are a few bands out there that like made, well, let me back up. So, when I first discovered metal and then death metal, like it was scary. It was scary. It was like, holy shit, what is this? Like
it
this
was
is
unintelligible.
This is like, yeah, like, this is next level. Right? It's like, oh my god, like I thought Slipknot was the heaviest thing in the world, and then I heard Suffocation. Like, oh my god, like yeah, what is this? This is so excitingly dangerous.
Yeah.
And then I obviously you get used to it, but then the first time I heard Anal Nathrak, I had that same kind of feeling, and I was like, whoa, like
yeah,
this sounds so evil and so pissed and so just insane.
Yeah.
And now it's
But I wonder if you were going into it having not heard them and heard that song back when you first discovered them. Like, I wonder what.
Yeah, I mean, I probably still would have dug it.
You're like, this is cool. And then you hear their old stuff and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. All right, so that's all the news that's fit to print for now, guys. We're sorry we missed a lot of cool shit that happened. We tried to cover the big tentpole devices.
Yeah.
We're gone, but we're back. New interviews are going to be coming. I'm hopefully going to be recording some stuff with some guests next week. Again, a big touring season coming up in the fall. Going to really try to get some more press for some more people to come on. Some more scoops for you about new shit coming out.
Scoops of hot poop.
Scoops of hot poop. There's a segment for us. Put a bookmark in that. We have a new segment for you.
I have a question.
Okay.
We'll lead into the segment with this question. hang on. Let me get the volume up on this. I might do it live.
Oh, no shit.
What are you listening to?
Perfect. Nailed it.
Definitely fucked that up.
What are you listening to? Please let us know. I don't know where you're listening to this. I guess Facebook or Instagram. Comment on shit. Tell us what you're listening to. Tell us what we should listen to. But every week or every other week, whenever we decide to post a podcast and get off our lazy asses, we're going to talk about what we are listening to currently, what we think you guys should be listening to. Clayton, I will give you the honors of going first.
I've been really digging that new Birds in Row, their latest album. I think it came out last week. We Already Lost the World. Super good. I feel like their records just keep getting better and better. The only thing I don't like is how short they are. Like, it's like one of those things where you wish the riff would go longer, kind of a thing.
Okay.
I feel like that with almost every one of their songs. They're so short, but they're so good. It's like, I want more.
Gotta have more. Gotta have it.
I find myself listening to all three of their albums. It takes me like an hour.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Maybe not that little of time, but it's good stuff. And then that band Frontier, I don't think they're on a record label or anything, but they put out one full length a year or so, two ago, maybe 3 years ago. And then they just put out a brand new one a week or two ago, Unloved.
Okay.
And it's equally as awesome. It's kind of like Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza.
Yeah.
They don't really have like the grooves as much, though, is the only thing. It's a lot more like technical, just like wankery, just blow your brains out.
More like The Boy Will Drown kind of stuff, or?
I guess so, yeah. But it's like in the style of Danza.
Okay.
Like, it's for sure heavily influenced by Danza.
Okay.
It's like, yeah. That's pretty good.
Righteous. Yeah. I've been listening to the new Surruption, just came out last night. I need to listen to that more, obviously. That's fantastic. Monument of the End, just tech death metal. If Meshuggah was a tech death band, you know, like with deathcore influences, like really, really solid stuff. Great dudes, amazing material. All of their records, all three are fantastic. I've been listening to Vane a little bit here and there. Zone.
Yeah.
Kind of cool throwback, early 2000s metalcore. Been pretty cool. That's been on my playlist. The New Skeleton, which again, Devouring Radiant Light. Mm-hmm. Really good. New Death Heaven, Ordinary Corrupt Human Love. We'll put links to a lot of these records somewhere. Either my phone just started playing a Skeleton Witch song. I probably hit it. But anyway, I'm an idiot. But anyway, that's what we're listening to. So we have the new Death Heaven, the new Skeleton Witch, the new Surruption, the new Birds in Row, the new
Frontierer.
DeFonce works with them, actually. Friend of the pod, Dane DeFonce on Continental. I think he's their agent. I think he's working with them. Hopefully they'll get some traction going forward.
Oh, yeah.
And who else do we say? Vane. Arizona.
Yes.
Again, really cool kind of throwback. Glassjaw influenced, you know, you kind of get a feel for that like metalcore early shit. We're seeing a lot of resurgence of that with like your Knocked Looses and Malevolence and, you know, that kind of like metalcore that's coming back, old school underground metalcore stuff. But anyway, we're glad to be back, guys. We're sorry we were away for so long. All five fans of you out there, we appreciate your loyalty.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll have interviews again soon. If not, I think we should really do more just news shows. Let us know. But please do hit us up. Let us know. Facebook, Instagram, Casting Metal Podcast. Hit us up. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know who you'd like to hear. We have a couple guests in the pipeline coming down. It's just a scheduling matter. But Clayton and I will get back to you with more news podcasts regardless. We miss you guys. We love you guys. Thanks for the support. Hopefully we'll have merch soon too. Clayton and I have been discussing merch aspects, so keep an eye out for that. If you want to rock some Casting Metal merch, we'd love to supply you with some. Again, thanks so much, guys. We'll be back soon. Keep it metal. Let us know what you're listening to, and we'll be back soon.
Bye.